It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Good morning, Desley Simpson.
Good morning, Johnny. Here we are, 1st of October, 3 months until 2025. Yikes!
Oh, man.
Pretty scary.
Please don't bring that up. Where is the year gone?
Scary, eh? But having said that, I am still buzzing, Johnny, from Sunday night. I was there at Eden Park for the world record for the largest parka, Guinness Book of Records. Man, I've got to say, it would have to be one of the most amazing nights of my life. You know, as a passionate Kiwi, seriously, to be part of an event that brought the haka back, which is such an important part of our culture, right? And retaining a world record here in Kaneki Makaurau, and breaking that world record and having the guy, you know, I think his name was Brian Sobel, the adjudicator from the Guinness Book of Records, sort of say we had done it, it was ours, for, you know, in history. Was pretty special, special for Māori, special for many, many people of all cultures who joined me and, you know, others on the field. It was just an amazing night. And the entertainment, Johnny, honestly, it was world class. You know, 660, Shefu, Nikamoa, everybody. It was just like, I'm still totally buzzing. It was fantastic.
Amazing. We sent some BFM reporters along to the event, and they are working on an audio package for everyone out there listening. So stay tuned. We'll have some more coverage of this.
Oh, good on them. I bet they loved it as much as I did.
Yes, I'd say so. I know there were some famous people there. Was it Conan O'Brien? Was there?
Yeah.
Maybe someone like there was. I saw some photos of the BFM people talking to him. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Alien Weaponry, Shepherd's Reign, you know, there have been all sorts of people. They just rocked on up because they are proud, you know, proud Kiwis and really wanting to make sure we pulled it off. It was really interesting. They had people from EY with kind of these big paddles that were sort of schooling groups of 50 people because it's, you know, you have to do it according to the rules.
Yep.
You can't just sort of rock off and be a big sort of mess. And so it was done really, really well. It was just, I think, what makes our country unique, and we just don't want, I mean, I love the French, love the wine, love the people, but hang, they're not going to keep the haka record, we have to do that,
Okay, Desley, now onto this week's topics of conversation. The first one off, the first cab off the rank here is Auckland Council's work from home policies and their implications for the city centre here in Tamaki Makaurau. How does Auckland Council justify its decision to maintain flexible working arrangements despite calls from business groups in the CBD to encourage more workers back to the office?
Look, I suppose Auckland Council is unique, in so much that people don't come to work every day at Auckland Council, stay at work there all day and then go home. You know, we have park rangers, we have consenting teams, we have people going out off the building sites, so we have a large amount of people that work, you know, that aren't desk bound. But having said that, we have we're experiencing our highest occupancy figures at Albert Street ever, and that's including pre-COVID occupancy. So we're really up there. I mean, we have a building that has about 3,600 people from across the group that calls Albert Street their primary office, and we're pulling through about, you know, well in excess of 4,000 into our office on a weekly basis. And you know, that's important, and that's in some respects, a large degree because we've amalgamated some of our CCOs. I mean, when I first became a councillor, we looked at whether, you know, all our buildings that we had acquired through amalgamation were still needed. We've ended up by completing that work now and saving, you know, $17 million a year and avoiding about $184 million of renewals. So being more efficient with our building space. But, you know, so we are pulling more people into the through Albert Street than we've ever done. It's pre-COVID, you know, than we've ever done, which is really good for the city centre. But it's also important, I think, to mention that council is a big organisation and we also have big hubs in the north and in the south and in the west, Albany, Manukau and Henderson. So So it's just as important for us to be able to revitalise and get people through those town centres as well. It's not just the CBD. But I think, you know, we have a lot of people that support our CBD through being at Albert Street, and we have a really good hot desk mentality that people can, you know, come in and use a desk and then out they go and come back, etc. So I think our chief executive has done a lot of media around this, and he's very confident that, you know, from a productivity perspective, we've got people working as they should, but we've also got foot traffic for the CBD by way of higher than ever numbers.
Outside of the council's central city location with this high number of people, are there any particular plans to support local businesses struggling to lower than usual foot traffic in the CBD?
Any plans to... Look, I mean, I think local boards look after our town centres, right? And they always try and, you know, have events and things that spark people into our local town centres. So every town centre, you know, Auckland's got a number, what do they just say, 100 villages. Every town centre is slightly different. I mean, I think as a region as a whole, we all want to support our business because we know they're so important for what we do. Small business especially, you know, about 92% of our businesses are SMEs, and you know, it is important to support them. And to do that are a number of things. Firstly, you've got to have revitalised town centres. You've got to have people who are flexible enough to be able to get into our cafes and restaurants and retail spaces. But you've got to have the money to be able to spend too. So it's a wider issue, I think, than just things that are within the council's control. But having said that, yeah, I'm really proud of some of the work our local boards have done, sort of trying to revitalise our smaller town centres and put on events and things to help make them attractive places to be, recreate and work.
Is there any room for the private sector to be playing a part in revitalising the city centre? Is there any initiatives that spring to mind that you think that they could roll out or potentially plan?
Yeah, I've got one just kind of really local to where I am, actually. There's a little group of shops not far from where I live, and actually the shops themselves, the private sector, the businesses, have created a little garden, and they've beautified that garden and planted plants and, you know, made it look really pretty. And it's, you know, council have enabled them to do it. They sort of haven't put any barriers in the way, but actually haven't paid for anything. The local businesses have done it all themselves, and that's just because they want to work, in a nice little place, and they want to have places where their staff can come out and their break and sit on a seat and, you know, be surrounded by nice things. So, yeah, that's completely private sector driven initiative.
Now, okay, Desley, the council has come together on a plan to bring together our cultural institutions, for example, the museum, the art gallery, MOTAT, into a more collaborative future arrangement. What does this look like, and how will this change their structures?
Look, this has been a long time coming, Johnny, and I've been really, really, really proud to be able to lead this work. I mean, we have spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars on reports and more reports, acknowledging the fact that what we've got by way of legislation and by way of kind of an amalgamated group of organisations isn't working. And all these reports have said do something and no one's actually done anything. So I picked this up, and the good thing about change is that you've got to have the right people with the right attitude, you know, all in the room together. So I just want to acknowledge that our cultural institutions, our museums, the art gallery, you know, everything from Stardome, the APO, all those organisations, they're fantastic for our city. I mean, you know, pretty well-known fact, I love the arts, right? And I think they're important for a vibrant city. But actually, through no fault of our own, they've all got different rules and governance structures. And as a result, that kind of siloed operational delivery has meant that things have clashed. So you've got, you know, something opening on one thing like Motet, at the same time you've got something opening in the museum. Instead of trying to sync them all together, there has been no kind of shared ticketing options for visitors across the institutions, which is pretty well pretty well seen in other countries and cities around the world. So I just want to first thank the institutions for what they do for Auckland, and thank the people who are now part of those institutions, both at a governance level and at an operational level, for working together with us on a way forward. It's never happened before, ever since the amalgamation. It's taken us a year this term, and as I said, I've been really proud of each and every one of them. But what it's going to mean, there are kind of two work streams. One is going to look at what we can do now. In other words, you know, what we can do on our own. So that's embedding that collaboration between them and sort of formalising an alliance of council-funded cultural institutions. So
How will this impact funding and resource allocation for the involved institutions?
It's not about cutting funding.
It's not about cutting funding? Okay.
No, it's about delivering better for them and for Aucklanders and for ratepayers. It's just getting them together and sharing some services together, all right? So that's kind of track one. Track two is around some legislative reforms. I mean, if you look at just the museum as a case in point, it's governed separately. It is a wonderful taonga for our city. But actually, by law, we are required to give them a lot more money than we actually do. And it's only because of that kind of, you know, the relationship that we've had with them that we've sort of settled on an amount. And it has been, up till now, year on year on year, and you just kind of finish a negotiation and then you blim and start all over again. So we did a three-year funding agreement with them. And this is actually about looking at funding, looking at shared services, looking at working together. I think there will probably be some cost savings without actually cutting, without actually cutting funding to deliver that which Aucklanders and visitors really appreciate. It's going to be a great outcome. And as I said, it's the first time in glory knows how many years. And I'm sick of reading all these expensive reports that tell us to do something and we've just never done anything. So it's a really fantastic step forward, I think, for Auckland, and it's a great step forward for our cultural institutions,
which are
an important part of our city.
Desley, are there going to be any measures to put in place to ensure that the unique identities of each institution are preserved in this collaboration?
I think that goes without saying. You know, I think it goes without saying. Look, there are a whole lot of frameworks around it, but the alliance will just mean that they have their place in Auckland, and they've always had their place. But as I said, it's around shared services, shared ticketing, shared marketing, shared, you know, let's market everything together as a city instead of just this one over here or just that one over there. And I think it's really good. Really good.
One last thing, Desley, Art Week.
Yes, we've got a fantastic Art Week. 10 days of fantastic opportunities. I'm starting on Friday, so it goes from the 4th to the 13th of October, and we've got something like 60 or 70, I think it is, pop-up exhibitions, events, music, galleries, arts and light institutions. So anything from free jazz in Vulcan Lane on October 10, or whether you go to a cartoon place to see a whole lot of illuminated artworks and drawing workshops, you can draw a friend, or to a real cool one, which is on the cycling light path, you know, the pink path.
Yes.
Well, the pink path has got lights on it pretty similar to the Auckland Harbour Bridge, so they can change for different things. And we've got a great new reprogramming of those lights, and it's called Random Acts of Kindness. And it's by an artist who's called Shannon Novak. And so they reprogram the lights so that when you walk past the lights, they go from kind of magenta to different colours as you walk through. So it's quite an interactive light experience, and that will be pretty cool.
Excellent.
Along the Ara Tawiti, the light part.
Hey, Desley Simpson, Deputy Mayor of Tamaki Makaurau, thank you very much for chatting with us this morning. We'll look forward to speaking with you in a fortnight's time, mate. Cheers.
Cool. Ka tite, have a wonderful day. Bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.